Okay, now speaking of Frozen faces and all that, the first trailer for Disney's Frozen 2, which has nothing to do with plastic surgery, was released this week. And obviously this is a major event for a lot of kids out there, and indeed a major event for a lot of parents too. It's racked up 116.4 million views, I see, in its first 24 hours online. It set the internet alight. People speculating about the new characters that might join Anna, Elsa and Olaf on their next adventure. In fact, it's 6 years since Frozen came out. And I know a lot of you out there will have enjoyed the Frozen, the kids singing Let It Go and what is Love Is an Open Door is a big one in my house. It's been six long years it's been for some. But as well as the songs and everything, I suppose in a sense it was one of the first big Disney films that had buried in it a lot of positive messages for kids. And I'm joined in studio now by two such parents, and they've been looking at other children's movies containing lots of these different allegories about social, political and human kind of issues. So Paul Whittington and Sinead Fox, welcome to the studio. Everyone excited about the Frozen sequel?
I can't wait. All the new outfits we get to buy and put in the dress-up box.
And Paul, there was a suggestion. There had been this campaign, Give Elsa a Girlfriend, to make Frozen a truly woke sequel. Do we know anything about that?
No, we don't. And I wonder, will that be a step too far for Disney? I know that Let It Go was embraced by the LGBT community and seen as a kind of coded message in it about coming out, although the producers said they weren't aware of this when the film was made. But it certainly has. It's an extraordinary film. I have a little boy who's six, so he has zero interest in this film. But I have a niece who's five, and she stands in front of the
telly. Are you gendering your children?
They seem to turn up pre-gendered.
I just have two children. I'm not aware yet. Whatever they decide to identify as, they both like Frozen, so I suspect they're girls at the moment. Sinead, remind us of the original movie that came out in 2013.
The original movie.
The story briefly and the kind of messages.
It's about two girls, Anna and Elsa. And Elsa has magical powers. They're princesses. Elsa has magical powers that are dangerous, and she hurts her sister, Anna, with it. So she's kind of locked away. So she's behind the door, and Anna thinks that Elsa doesn't love her because she's behind the door and kept away from everybody, but it's because her powers are so dangerous. Elsa is becoming the queen. The parents die. There's a lot of dead parents in movies and kids' movies. Parents always die. Don't be a parent in a movie. If you're offered a voice contract, don't go for one of the parents' ones. You'll last about 5 or 6 minutes in. So the parents die, and Elsa becomes queen on her coronation day. Her emotions get very high and she causes some damage. She runs away. And then it turns out that there's a curse on poor Anna. You're not allowed to call her Anna. You have to call her Anna, or your 5-year-old will kill you. I make that mistake a lot. It's Anna. So Anna, she needs a kiss and she needs true love in order to be saved. And she kind of meets this fella at the coronation and thinks everything's going to be grand, and they've the lovely song together. But it turns out all is not as it seems. And it's not him who's the good guy who's going to save her. It's her sister. It's her sister's love for her that saves her. It's beautiful.
So it's an antidote to all those princesses who were saved by men.
Yeah, that we're not supposed to watch anymore.
Well, you can watch them. You just have to watch them knowing what they're about. And I know Keira Knightley has, I'm not going to allow my daughter to watch Cinderella because it's anti-feminist. Don't do that. Kids need to be exposed to everything. So my little girl will look at those. We'll also read The Paper Bag Princess, where the prince doesn't let the princess come back into the... because she's a bit messy, she saves his life, but she said, "You look awful," and she said, "You're a bum," and she leaves him. You know, that's the kind of stuff we need. Balance. Don't just hide them away from the.
Yeah, but
the
Frozen does have that lovely different message about the power of sisterhood. Will we take a little clip just I had to kind of inoculate myself against the clips by listening to them yesterday, because I thought I might cry at this one. So here's a clip from Frozen where the girls are reunited.
So we were so close. We can be like that again.
Catch me!
Anna!
Anna!
No, we can't. Goodbye, Anna.
Elsa, wait.
No, I'm just trying to protect you.
You don't have to protect me. I'm not afraid. Please don't shut me out again. Please don't slam the door. You don't have to keep your distance anymore. hand in hand.
Okay, enough.
Stop the sing-along, mate.
Paul, explain to me about the dead parents. Like, you would think that would freak out kids.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I think that children enjoy that idea the way we enjoy horror films. They can safely, sitting beside you on the sofa, they can safely explore the idea that if you weren't there, if you disappeared, and there'd be nobody to tell them not to pick their nose and to eat their broccoli, what adventures they would have. But they're also kind of terrified of it. So I think they're fascinated about it in that way, you know.
And a lot more movies than we think, the kids' movies, they're... When you think about them, the parents are dead in them all. Give us some of the classic dead parents.
Absolutely. I mean, we were talking about Finding Nemo out there, and I think it was one of your little boys was traumatised because a barracuda eats the mother at the start of it. And a lot of kids are like, so the mother's dead, you know, move on. But they're able for it. They're also fascinated by death because they know it pushes a button with adults. If they talk about death, they get a reaction. So they're very interested.
It, but as somebody who raised a child who has a dead parent, I know there's plenty of people listening out there who might find that conversation just a little flippant, because I know my son was triggered many times by those stories where a parent was dead.
This is the thing.
It's not funny.
Kids are triggered by these things.
My boy would be triggered often, come home from school in floods of tears by stories where parent... because his dad is dead. So, you know, I do think that they put those things in, not really fully thinking that we're not all perfectly formed families, you know?
No, but they also put them in. That's true, Nora, but they also put them in because they've always been there in fairy tales, because fairy tales, where the Disney films came from, were a way for children to sort of gently learn about the harsh realities of life. So they're always there.
To give the kids independence, they want the main character to be a child, but they want them to have certain adult qualities.
Yeah.
So you can have them as an adult quality if there's no parent there to guide them. Mm. Now, it's not always two parents are dead. Sometimes it's one. If it's one, it tends to be mum.
Yeah.
And by the way, sometimes they gloss over it. You know,
absolutely.
Oh, ho-hum, I'm off on my adventures now. Yeah, so you know, it's not that they delve too deeply.
No, they don't at all. But it's very flippant.
But in terms of what you were saying, Paul, about that they give, they often give mechanisms for gently introducing kids to things.
They do.
For example, the Lego Movie. Yeah. A lot of people would say has certain messages for kids.
It definitely does, and we find out the first one was so clever, and we found out at the end of it that Lord Business, the sort of evil character, it was actually his dad who kept giving out to him for breaking up Lego things, which is the bane of every parent whose kid likes Lego. And in the second one, MF and all the little, and the Batman, all the little minifigures are attacked by Duplo monsters, and it's because the kid's little sister is trying to play with him, and he doesn't want her to play with him. So it's very clever. And actually, a parent in a reality scene in the film, a parent stands on a piece of Lego and compares the pain to childbirth, which is very flippant as well, I suppose.
Inside Out.
Inside Out.
Inside Out which was on RTÉ again last night. Is another great one with kind of for when kids are getting to a certain point in life and their emotions are raging.
Absolutely. So in Inside Out, there's the five main characters are emotions, and it starts off again with another triggering event, a girl who has moved from the Midwest into San Francisco, big city, and she misses everybody and she's very sad. She's kind of, I think she's probably a tween, she's probably not quite a teenager, and we get to see how her emotions work and how her mind works through this it's really, really cleverly done. But inside her, we can see joy, fear, rage, I need to turn the page to get the others, sadness and disgust. Disgust is my favourite because she is just so Valley Girl. And it looks at what happens when different emotions are driving the person, basically driving the child, Riley. So you can see when sadness touches things, they all go dark, and joy doesn't want sadness near anything. But what's really nice about this is that it teaches kids throughout it that actually you need a bit of joy and a bit of sadness, and it's not the things don't always work out the best way if it's only joy. And if you've got the two together, then you get a much more balanced and a much better approach.
I told my kids the message to do is you have to push down your emotions.
Good luck with that.
Everything will be fine.
Inside Out is an absolutely brilliant movie. It's absolutely not a kids' movie.
So many of these movies are better than a lot of adult films you see.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's in my top five of all time, Inside Out.
Have you kids? Donal, or do you just watch?
16, 18, 20.
So okay, I've never really so you're watching this on your, you're watching Inside Out on your own time, basically.
Oh, yeah. It's a great movie. Yeah.
No, I love the fact when describing Frozen, Sinead had no fears about spoilers because it can be presumed everybody in the country has seen Frozen late once. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it once and endured it five times.
Only six.
With a 4-year-old boy.
Yeah. All right.
Who now denies that he was. Yeah.
They've done the gender experiment in the Scandinavian countries where they send kids into kindergartens that are completely gender neutral. Mm. And 95% of the boys are gone to the guns and fighting, and 95% of the girls are gone to the dolls, and 5% are in the middle.
But the big question is at what age? I remember writing a piece in a column once when he used to love going to Disney, and then one day he stopped at the floor where it changed to the princess quarter. Mm-hmm.
My boys won't go up the stairs.
It was after he went to school. Mm-hmm. So much of the gendering is done
it's
in school.
Awareness.
In play school, we had kitchens. My boys came home. One of them came home saying, I played with the Barbies today. He was about 3 and a half. I want a Barbie for Christmas. Mm. And people thought we were crazy, but he wanted the Barbie with the pink hair from the shop up the road. And he got it with his Nerf gun, because that's the kind of kid he was. He's like, toys are for everybody. Until you need to operate them with your genitalia, they're for everybody.
And I think the movies are getting that bit less gendered as well. For example, one I have to say I loved, it's probably in the last year or so, is Coco. And again, death, and quite a scary film, amazing graphics and everything else. But again, Paul, fantastic.
What they did, which was clever, was they, at the screenings I went to, the Disney, and they did in America as well, they asked kids to bring pictures of their dead loved ones, basically. Yeah. And it was all...
Because it was based around the Mexican Day of the Dead,
and he's able to travel to the other side and so on and so forth. But kids are fascinated by that stuff.
Yeah. We have a little clip from Coco, so this is Miguel discovering the land of the dead.
This isn't a dream, then. You're all really out there.
You thought we weren't?
Well, I don't know. I thought it might have been one of those made-up things that adults tell kids, like vitamins.
Miguel, vitamins are a real thing.
Well, now I'm thinking maybe they could be.
Okay, that's Coco there. But there are still a lot of princesses. The kids still love the princesses, but I guess the princesses are a little bit more woke now, are they, Sinead?
They're a bit more kick-ass. I don't know if anyone else saw...
Moana's a good example.
Mulan. Now, she did have to impersonate her father in order to be to go off on the adventure, but she did, nevertheless went. Moana went off adventuring as a teenage princess. But even, I don't know if anyone has seen the Wreck-It Ralph follow-up, Ralph Breaks the Internet. They have a brilliant section where they have all the princesses hanging out together.
All the Disney
princesses. Yeah. And they have the princess from Brave as well, who they kind of make a comment at her. I think, was she from DreamWorks? Was she one of them? And they said, oh, she's from the other studio, we don't understand her accent. But all the princesses got together and they saved the day, and you got to see them without the kind of...
They're very aware of all that now.
They're starting to get it.
Okay, we cannot obviously have this conversation without talking about Toy Story, which are probably the biggies. 4. And in terms of the emotional complexity and power of those movies,
they're fabulous.
Sinead.
Look, Toy Story, you can look at any of these, you can look at them as the kids going in, they're 3, they're 5, they're 6, and they can look at it as, oh, play with the toys, or you can look at it from the parents' point of view and the separation and the kids growing up as they go through them. But in Toy Story, you've got... they talk about the diversity, they talk about the new people coming in, the themes of friendship are all so strong. There's a lot that kids can take from them, I think.
But also abandonment, because they're always, you know, singing songs about how the kids dropped them in the trash when they became teenage. And I think parents watching that visualise their children when they grow up, abandoning them. Yeah.
Discarded like Woody. We have actually a clip from Toy Story here, the discarding of Woody, I think it is.
Now, Woody... He's been my pal for as long as I can remember. He's brave, like a cowboy should be, and kind and smart. But the thing that makes Woody special is he'll never give up on you. Ever. He'll be there for you, no matter what. You think you can take care of him for me? Okay, then.
Laura's practically crying. I had somebody turn 11 on Friday, so it's a sore point with me as well.
I forgot that. I thought he took Woody off to college.
No, he gives them to the little girl.
What's your favourite Toy Story, Noel, would you say?
Oh, the first one, of course.
Yeah.
First one.
That's a question you will never be asked on the radio panel again, Noel Whelan, I'd say.
But isn't it amazing that we're telling the technology, the graphics, the games, the YouTube videos they can all see, the power of a good, strong narrative told well on screen is still something kids want to come back to.
Toy Story was so great because it was nostalgic as well. Like, you could see, you know, all the toys were things you imagined you had yourself when you were younger.
Yeah, I think it was one of the first films that
Fisher
had
Price phone.
Is it built in the age of the parents as well as the kids?
Were you a cowboy when you were younger, Brendan? I can see you with a holster on you.
What?
Were you a cowboy when you were younger?
I was actually more Jesse than Woody when I was, I was brought up in a very progressive environment.
I know there's been sequels, but Inside Out, well, Toy Story wasn't made with a sequel in mind. Sometimes you watch a film and you know they're setting you up for two. But the really good ones...
I think the second one was better than the first one, personally, too. Yeah.
I have to say, the panel have come alive like this all day. So we're going to leave you at home now, and we're obviously going to stay here for a few hours. Just, Noel Whelan and Donal O'Shea want to get into a good old discussion about Woody and co. So that's it for today. Our researchers are Rachel Breslin and Lisa McGeough. Our broadcast coordinator was Bridget Nicholas, and today's producer was our series producer, Margaret Curley. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Goodbye.